Frank, let's start with the basic question. Why are you running for treasurer?
Well, the treasurer's office is a job I know well, having served there for 4 years. And when I was in office 2007 through 2010, we went through what we all remember as the Great Recession. So I looked back on those days and with the experiences that I gained and, you know, getting the state through those times, seeing the pension fund through tough times. We outperformed pension funds like the state of Massachusetts pension fund in 2009 and 2010, the California pension funds, which are the biggest in the country, and even the world leading endowment investors at Harvard and Yale. We outperformed those funds during difficult times, and then we outperformed them when the market turned in 2010. So I'd like to take that experience back to the treasurer's office and be prepared for whatever comes at us, whether it's in the markets or here in our state.
If you're elected treasurer, how will you use the office to try to improve Rhode Island's economy?
Well, when I first announced for the office last fall, I focused on how the office can help small businesses here in Rhode Island. It's an area I know well, having done it in the past. You know, the pension fund loans out a lot of money, but unfortunately, most of that money goes to either other governments and buying bonds or some of the largest blue chip companies, you know, companies like McDonald's, Microsoft, Apple, that when they want to borrow money. I'd like to bring in a proven world-renowned money manager that has an expertise in making capital available to local small businesses. And I think that would be a great source of capital for our existing small businesses, which is the backbone of our economy here in Rhode Island. When I was in office, we hired money managers who had a base here in Rhode Island, and that helped create jobs and obviously put some money into our local economy. But I'd like to take the next step and have, a proven outside money manager that would be able to make the capital available to our local small businesses.
If creating a small business loan fund is a good idea, why didn't you do it in your first term as treasurer?
Well, like I said, this is an area that has been emerging within the money manager community. And now the firms that do it have proven track records. So I'm excited to go out to that universe of potential money managers and say, we'd like to have a fund like that here in southeastern New England, and we'd like you to lead it. Show us what your credentials are in doing this, either here in this part of the country or in other parts of the country.
You're a former state rep and former state senator, so I'm curious, if you had been in the General Assembly in 2011, would you have voted for the pension overhaul spearheaded by Rhode Island's current treasurer, Gina Raimondo?
Yeah, well, the strain on the state budget was a real burden. So a change had to be made. And when I was running for governor in 2010, I proposed the hybrid plan, which was eventually adopted by the legislature. So there, most of the proposed change was debated when I was either in the treasurer's office and seeking office in the past. And for the most part, it were changes that I wanted to see made. There was one area, however, that because we had different assumed rates of returns, and I know I'm talking a little bit in the weeds and with actuarial lingo, but when I was in office, the assumed rate of return was 8.25. It was reduced to 7.5 after I left office. So that put even more strain on the system. With the facts as they were in 2011, I look at the changes as being necessary, and it would have been something that I would have supported.
You mentioned how Raimondo also led the move to reduce the state's expected rate of return from 8.25 to 7.5%. If you're elected treasurer, would you support keeping that at 7.5%, or do you think that's too optimistic?
Well, I've already said past discussions on this that I'd like the numbers to speak for themselves, and let's do the actuarial study that is done on a regular basis and see what the experts recommend for the assumed rate of return. I think because of the performance over the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, we're looking at a long-term investment here, and I think the numbers may bear out that we could raise it up slightly.
But you're saying it's unclear based on right now whether that is worth keeping the expected rate of return at 7.5%.
Well, I'm a big fan of a process, and let the people who are experts in that process assist you in bringing the information in front of you and the board that make that decision. Again, this is part of my experience. I've been there, and I've had to make these types of management and policy decisions that have a major effect on our state. When you talk about studying this issue, when I was in office, I actually put in the process to start the study. That when Treasurer Raimondo came in, she picked it up and it was finalized. And then the board drew the conclusion that it drew, which was that they wanted to lower the assumed rate of return.
Treasurer Raimondo has been unwilling to release unredacted documents about the state's hedge fund investments. Do you support her position on that?
Well, let me be very clear when it comes to hedge fund investments. If I'm given the privilege of going back to the Treasurer's office, it will be a focus of mine to reduce the amount of hedge funds that we have in the state pension fund portfolio. I believe the hedge funds do not provide the types of returns versus the risk and the cost that they advertise. So I would do as I did when I was in office before: go through the whole portfolio and make decisions that are in the best interests of the long-term health of the portfolio. And from my study at this point, it would include removing most of the hedge funds. Again, when I was in office, the fees were below $20 million a year in the $8 billion hedge fund. Now they're approaching $80 million a year, and we're not keeping up with Massachusetts or California and those other investors.
Let's come back to my initial question about whether you support Treasurer Raimondo's decision not to release unredacted documents about the state's hedge fund investments.
When I was in office, I had no problem putting not only our checkbook of the Treasury office online, but, you know, contracts like this. So it would be my focus to not only provide that information, but make it easily accessible to the outside world. So I don't think there should be any secrets when it comes to how the state's money is being invested.
If you believe that, why have you not called on Treasurer Raimondo to release unredacted forms of this information?
Well, in interviews like this and in other interviews, I've answered this question and said that we should have this information available. And I've also made clear, and in the Treasurer's race, I believe I'm the only candidate that's saying, if elected, I'll go in and I want to make material changes to especially the hedge fund portfolio and exit most of those investments, if not all of them. So I believe we're paying too much in fees. It's dragging down the performance of the fund, and we need to make those changes immediately.
Which current elected official in Rhode Island do you most admire?
Oh, I look up to Senator Reid quite a bit, and others. You know, it's tough to single out people, but, you know, Senator Reid is someone that in 1990, when he first ran for Congress, I was running for state representative in the neighborhood I lived in Providence. And I remember early in that campaign, it was about a year before the eventual election. I saw a little article in the Saturday newspaper that said that there was a state senator from Cranston who was going to be running for Congress. And in a typical Rhode Island way, I opened up the phone book because I was having a neighborhood cookout at, coming up. And I said, let me reach out to State Senator Reid and see if he wanted to come to the neighborhood cookout. And he did. And when I'm with him now, we reflect on where the last 24 years have gone.
You've been supportive of your brother, David Caprio, who recently stepped down as state Democratic chairman. Was it wrong for him to bid on a state contract to run a concession at a couple of state beaches?
Well, let me just say that's something you'd have to ask my brother about the details of, you know, what's going on there. The one thing that I can say is, as a as someone who stopped by the concession stand on a hot summer day, the frozen lemonade there is pretty good. So if you're looking for some frozen lemonade at any of the state beaches, I'd give them a recommendation for that. But I'm going to reserve comment on that.
If you win the treasurer's office, is it possible we might see you take another shot at running for governor down the road?
Now, I'm focused on asking the people for support for state treasurer.
Okay, and you're giving me a political answer, but you must have thought about this.
Yeah, when I decided to enter the race for state treasurer, I said in early interviews, in the answer to this type of a question, that, you know, I've run for office at the legislative level, at the state level, and the treasurer's office is one that, again, I know well, that I have a passion for, and I'm focused purely on running and serving in the treasurer's office. So I'm not looking to speculate about anything down the road, because I really don't think that there'll be any other steps after if I'm given the privilege to serve as state treasurer. So, again, it's tough to predict the future fully. If we both could do that, maybe we would be in a different occupation. But that's how I'm looking at the the next 4 years, hopefully, is being able to serve as state treasurer and do a superior job for the people who elect me to do that.
Democratic candidate for state treasurer Frank Caprio, thank you for sitting down with us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, Ian.